If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel,
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
come together once a week over a single topic, and from said topic, we come up with a bunch of ideas on how to get crazy rich, crazy quickly. We don't ask for anything up front. I mean, our listeners in Pakistan can vow to that. We haven't asked for anything from them up to this point. Our listeners in Canada can vouch for that. We haven't asked for any of that massive Canadian dollars.
If anyone's wondering, we were just looking at where our downloads are from. Josh was fascinated.
Why do we need to explain to them why, you know, just let the people feel good that we're acknowledging them.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Either way, we're saying thanks for listening.
To all of our listeners in the great state of Illinois.
Yep.
One of Noel's hometowns, home states. You've lived all over the world, Noel.
I'm a gadabout, as they say.
You are a gadabout. You are. You're a fop.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't ask for any money up front, guys.
No.
We don't want it up front.
No.
You would feel guilty if we took your money up front and you took one of our ideas and then it failed for you. Because we understand that not everything is made to order. No, I'm sorry. We understand. Let me try. Take two.
Take two.
We understand that nothing is
take
one
three.
Size
take
fits
three.
All. That's what I'm
just
trying to
once
say.
Once more, right through.
All right. We understand that nothing is one size fits all.
There you go.
So we want you to try it out, to wear it for a while, to break it in.
Yeah,
it's like mattresses now come with 90-day return policies. Some have 365-day return policies. We're giving you an until you're rich return policy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That seems reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get rich, then you can be like, wow, that worked for me. That fit me nicely. That went well with my belief system, with the way I like to do things, with, you know, whatever it may be, with the amount of money I could start up with. There's so many variables. I was going to say variables, like I was you all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But then, guys, once you're rich, then and only then, what do they do, Noel?
After you're rich, after you have made so much money that you too can think that you are me, you sit back and you say, hey, I didn't get here on my own. I owe these guys a little bit of something, something. And what that something, something is 10% of everything you made while you got rich. Tithe us. Give us 10%.
That's right. For you churchgoers out there, tithing. You
yes.
know what that means. For those of you that may be agnostic, atheistic,
yes.
and you never spend any time in a house of worship.
Or read a dictionary.
Or ever had anything to do with tithing.
Yes.
Or read a dictionary. Yeah, because if you make it sound like everyone sits down and reads the dictionary.
Well, but, you know, there's still a knowledge of the language you speak.
Which you seem to have trouble with, and yet it is the language of both of your countries.
I don't have trouble with definitions.
You have trouble with pronunciation.
Some of that sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, sometimes. Every other show.
Well, here and there.
Right. And during every other show.
It's because I'm reading.
So you don't know how to read?
No, you know what? Soon, in the new COVID world where everyone's quarantined all the time and nobody speaks to anyone, all we're going to do is know words from reading them. You're going to hear some of the craziest pronunciations ever.
That's true. I think there's some truth to that fact.
Yeah, I am on the vanguard of this movement.
You are on the vanguard. The funny thing is the CDC says that if everyone just hunkered down and wore a mask and self-quarantined for 2 months, the U.S. would have this completely under control.
Yeah, like the whole rest of the world has, yes, except for Brazil. Exactly.
And yet, we can't seem to do that.
Nope.
So too much. We essentially will be in quarantine for the rest of our natural born lives.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah, we'll be semi-quarantined forever.
Yeah, and that'll just be the United States. The rest of the world is going to go on as completely, you know, relatively normal.
Yep.
Anyway.
Maybe Trump's theory was, since he couldn't build his fucking wall, he just wanted to make this a place nobody would try to come to.
I never even thought of that. If that's the case, and that's a brilliant bit of Trumpism.
3D chess.
It is 3D chess. That's exactly what it is. Unbelievable. Noel, maybe you should run for president.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should be his vice president.
No, I'm going to be president, and Nigel's going to be my vice president.
He's about as useful as Pence is.
Mm-hmm. I'll get him a wig.
Uh-huh. And he'll just sit there drooling on himself.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he'll look away quickly because there was a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be perfect. So anyway, guys, after you're rich, you pay us the 10%.
Yeah.
You tithe us, you tip us, you give it to us is what we're saying.
Yeah.
And that pretty much covers it. So, Noel.
Yeah.
I ran into you on the street a few days ago.
You did, 2 days ago.
We chatted with your lovely partner, Nan.
Yep.
And your little baby boy, Nigel.
Yep.
And I had Herschel with me.
Mm-hmm.
Who, if anyone wants to know what Herschel looks like, you can check him out at Herschel_the_Pibbleweeny.
What? What happened to Doxador?
Not a Doxador, man. He's 60% Pitbull, 40% Dachshund.
You push too far. Doxador is a great name. Pibbleweeny? You just traded a Doxador for a Pibbleweeny.
We didn't trade anything.
Yeah,
the fact of the matter is we had him. We did his DNA because, you know, we have no problem just throwing money away.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back as Pitbull, more Pitbull than Dachshund, I might add. It was like a 60-40 mix. So, you know, you can't call him a Doxador. He's not a Dachshund Labrador.
Okay.
So that's just not true. We would be lying to his fans. And we don't want to lie to his fans. We need to be truthful and open like we are with this show.
Okay. All right. True.
But
good point.
In that vein,
yes.
In the vein of truth and openness, to our listeners, if you think you're actually getting rich off of our ideas, think again.
Josh is basically the Pibbleweeny of hosts.
I am. I'm tenacious but cute as hell.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Noel asks me to send him dick pics all the time. Anyway, Noel,
mm-hmm.
Have you really been? What's really going on with you?
Been all right. It's been a busy week. As I say, we bumped into each other. We had just come from a 2-month checkup, which he aced.
Oh, that's nice. Congratulations.
Yeah. We were told his temperature's perfect.
His temperature is perfect.
Growing like a champ.
Uh-huh.
In both size and weight.
Congratulations.
He's a perfect baby.
He's a solid young baby.
I reined in. I used mucho self-control the other day because he has suddenly like it was like someone flicked a switch and he has suddenly great interest in this. He's got this chair and above it's got this like tiger that hangs down and a elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And he now has great interest in those all of a sudden, to the point where he would just like look at them and like laugh like he was having conversations with them.
Oh, laughing.
And
huh?
I took pictures of it and I didn't send you any of those pictures.
No, you can send me that. You just can't say my kid is a fucking genius because look how he laughs. He laughs like the best audience ever. Like, you can't do that. That's what I don't want to hear. I would love to see your child laugh. You can send me a video of your child laughing. I like hearing babies laugh. It's a pure, pure laughter. My laughter is like yours, fake.
Oh, ho, ho.
I don't feel joy anymore. I don't feel any actual ability to laugh. So I take cues.
Okay.
From people, like I can tell when something's supposed to be a joke. I'm like a sociopath in that way.
Yeah, well, in a few ways.
See, that was a fake laugh.
Let me find a pic of him just overjoyed with these guys.
You know, I was actually had a Zoom meeting with an old chef friend of mine who has just had a baby as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had been telling him about Nigel, and he had gotten, but it made me think of a story, which is kind of fucked up,
mm-hmm.
but we were working at this place together where we were making chicken. We had chicken pot pies on the menu, and we had to make chicken pot pies. And one day he made the chicken pot pies, and on one of them, as a joke, we would top them off with like leaves and stuff like that. You know, you'd cut out some dough and you'd put a leaf on top or a mm-hmm. couple of leaves, you know, just to gussy it up a little bit so that the dough looked
pretty,
you know,
interesting.
Pretty, exactly. And he jokingly put a swastika on one.
Ah, did he previously work in Domino's?
No, he did not previously work. Is that something that happened in Domino's?
Oh, yeah. There was just a big thing where people complained because they got a pepperoni pizza with the pepperonis in a swastika, and apparently they were making bad to deliver pizza competition at the Domino's, and they didn't realize that one actually went out.
Well, this is literally kind of the same thing.
Okay,
it meant as a joke, and we were going to cook it off and eat it ourselves, and we got in the shit really early. We never had a chance to do it. And it ended up in the oven, cooked during a rush and sent out. You could hear the scream.
Really?
From the person.
It got delivered to the person. It
got delivered to the person.
Did that waiter get fired?
The waiter did not get fired. It was a food runner who didn't know any different.
But aren't they supposed to deliver a good looking product?
Sometimes things happen.
Okay.
All I'm saying, yes, you are correct. But sometimes when you're in the weeds and you're in the shit, stuff goes out that you don't really check as well as you should. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You sort of glance over. There are three pot pies up. You look at one. You're like, it's fine. You wipe the edge of all the plates. You're like, that's what I do. That's my automatic.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm not checking to see that the leaves are in the right place. All I am is the food runner. I'm checking to make sure that the plate is cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes things get by.
Okay. Sure.
And in this case, it got by and it went out to the table and the woman screamed.
That's so horrible.
Like she was furious, obviously. And my friend got fired that moment.
Oh.
Kicked out. I mean, there was no, you know, and of course he's Jewish, so it wasn't even like,
yeah.
There was anything resembling that. It was just supposed to be like a really bad joke that went completely awry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fired that minute, and then everything was foobar from that moment on.
Oh, he was fired mid shift.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh,
the manager. Like, we were all like, don't just, you fire him at the end of the thing. But the general manager was so furious. He said, if this kid is not out of here right now, I'm going to like call the cops.
Oh.
And do like, you know, cite him for a hate crime.
Oh.
And we were like, okay.
Yeah. So how did the rest of that shift go?
Oh, it was hell. It was hell. I mean, we were so in the weeds because it was a Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
It was like 7 o'clock when it went out, and we were busy from 6 o'clock. Like, we were slammed from 6 o'clock, and from 6 o'clock to like 10 o'clock, we were slammed and we were short a cook. It was the worst. The chef de cuisine kept having a, the chef de cuisine would have been, was hopping behind the line to help us out to begin with. And that was one of the reasons it got out, because he was on the line helping one of the other guys, and it just went up, and the runners just grabbed the food, wiped it down, and took it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no one there like checking it. And of course, the chef de cuisine got railed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So he was in a foul mood to begin with. Yeah, no, it was bad. It was bad. It was, you know, fucked up beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
It got to the point where food was going out. It was a mess. It was a mess. It was probably one of the worst nights of cooking I've ever experienced in a restaurant.
Yeah.
It was bad. But it just goes to show you.
Yes.
Don't put swastikas
on anything, on anything,
on your pot pies, unless you really mean it.
Yeah. Yes, true. True. There's parts of the country that it go over great.
Yeah, I would imagine there are some diners out there that are listening to this and they're like, oh,
yeah,
Monday night special.
The secret menu.
That's right. What's on the secret menu? Oh.
Swastika pot pies.
It's all... Nazi themed food.
Yeah.
There you go. Little, did I ever show you that photo I had of, they were supposed to be Harry Potter tater tots.
Uh-huh.
But the ones that looked like that were supposed to be the lightning bolts, when you put them next to each other, looked like the SS insignia, which are two lightning bolts.
Yeah.
So I got this plate full. I called them tater totsies.
Uh-huh.
Because I got this plate full of SS signias. They were just sort of stacked up on each other. And like every third one I would eat, it would expose two that were just sitting next to each other.
Uh-huh.
Like I was going to be taken away after I finished my plate full of food. It was very strange. I didn't understand the reasoning behind it. Like, no one thought when they made those tater tots.
No, at all.
They know all. That story was enticing.
Yes.
Hysterical and timely.
Oh, it was.
But really what it was a foreshadowing of today's topic, which is not... Nazism, because
no.
We would not go that far.
No.
It is not Hitler. It is not swastikas.
No.
It's not pot pies even, Noel.
No.
Today's topic is
FUBAR, how to get rich with it, how to get so rich with it, you'll be beyond recognition.
Why don't you tell people what FUBAR means?
It means fucked up beyond all recognition.
It's an army term, right?
Yeah.
Military, along with snafu.
Yes.
Which is situation normal, all fucked up.
Yeah, which is actually, when I suggested this, what I was thinking of. But this one works just as well.
I guess. I think I probably would have done better with snafu than FUBAR.
Oh, okay.
But this was a hard one for me. I don't know why. I just couldn't think outside of the box, as it were, whatever box I had put myself in. Or whatever pot pie I had steamed.
I couldn't think outside the swastika pot pie.
I couldn't. Anyway, Noel, FUBAR.
Yeah.
Fucked up beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us an example of it and tell us how to make money from
it? Okay, I will. But before I do, I don't know if you have your phone nearby you.
I do.
But I sent you a picture of Nigel falling in love with his little elephant friend and another picture of what he looked like today.
Ooh, he looks sullen today. Look at him, big smile on his face.
Yeah, he's loving that elephant. And then I have all these pictures of all these different extreme facial expressions between him and this little tiger and elephant.
I will say that this look that's on his face on the second one,
uh-huh,
looks like he's looking straight at you and he's pulling a "what you talking about, Willis."
It does. It does. He was super smiley. And then I pulled the camera out and that's all I could get.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's already tired of getting his photos.
He's like, really, Dad? We were sitting here, laughing. Anyway, FUBAR guys, how are you going to get rich with it? I'm going to tell you right now. Well, things are pretty FUBAR'd right now in the world, right? First we've got, racism, right? Been a problem a long time in this country, since the foundation of this country. It's come to a head lately. People aren't having it. And the racists are doubling down. Ever since our frickin' Nazi in chief got in power, the tact of people thinking that, well, maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, has gone the opposite way. And now they're like, no, now I'm proud of being a racist. So A, we got that, right? Climate's not doing that great. We have global warming. We have pollution. Our oceans are full of plastic. There's talk of, are we going to be able to sustain food on this planet, right? Not doing too good climate-wise. We had the opiate crisis going on, right? Not too long ago, that was front page news, but it's been knocked off to the back page basically now. Opiate use has gone crazy. We've got a billionaire family that has basically marketed opiates, and somehow nobody caught on that the factories are making 400 times or whatever it is of what is actually needed. Somehow that slipped through the cracks, and there it goes. We have the issue of
are the factories making 400 times the amount of the opiate, the like oxy, and
they got to be making a lot more than what's rationally needed, because otherwise where's it coming from?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
We have massive inequality that's growing all the time, shrinking middle class, growing poor, billionaires popping up everywhere. We're getting we have trillionaires now too, right?
No, there are no trillionaires yet. There is a belief that Bezos will be the first trillionaire, though.
Okay, it's probably going to be by the end of the show. But inequality as never before seen. And, you know, unions are getting eroded. People think it's awesome to give jobs that used to be seen as decent jobs to a job where someone cannot in any shape or form support themselves, let alone have a, you know, wife and a kid and somewhere to live.
I don't know if I told you this, but I had another guy who I used to work with, that got out of restaurants, moved to the Midwest, and became an EMT. And right when all the hubbub about $15 minimum wage was going on, especially mm-hmm. for like McDonald's workers and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He posted something to the effect of, all these McDonald's workers want to get paid $15 an hour, and they think they should make the same as I do, and I save lives. And I was like, dude,
you're getting paid minimum wage.
You should be getting paid way more than $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Is really the point of all, is what your fucking thing should be saying.
Yeah.
If $15 an hour is like the most basic living wage and you are out there saving people's lives, and that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, and you need a lot of knowledge and a lot of skill.
Yeah. He had to go to school for, I think, 2 years to get, you know, the additional learning that he needed to just be an EMT. I mean, I it boggled my mind that that's the tack that he would take. Like, how dare they try to think they should make as much money as me? It's like, no, you should be making 3 to 4 times as much money as you're currently making right now per hour.
Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. We have a political situation in this country that is tearing itself apart. We have a moron in power, a moron. At this point, anyone who doesn't see it is bananas, because I'm going to get to my last point of our situation, which is the pandemic, COVID, where somehow the entire rest of the world has managed to do a hands down better job at handling it than we have.
Brazil hasn't.
Except for Brazil, where the leader, who is a fascist, came out right from the beginning and was just said, no, it's not true. So the only country, and we're still doing worse than them, but probably because we're bigger, but the only country in comparison is Brazil.
He's got it now.
Huh? Yeah, I know. Ugh. The whole pandemic thing, I'm going to tell you, is making me a little crazy right now. The fact that so many people and so many businesses shuttered and holed up and laid low, and we're just going to get through this, and then we're going to rebuild. And all these freaking morons in the world right now have squandered all that hard work and pain that people have done. It sickens me. And our president is leading the charge of these morons. It sickens me. And it's sickening a lot of people, record numbers of people. And at the rate we're going, we're never getting out of quarantine, as Josh said. We're going to be in semi-quarantine until there's a vaccine. Thank you, Trump.
Even then, though, the anti-vaxxers are taking hold and they're saying that the vaccine is going to be a scam and it's just more of the same. They're going to use the vaccine is going to be used to get people sick.
Yeah.
So they can say that see how bad the COVID is.
Yeah. Well, you know who's going to get it is me. And then all these morons can just, who cares what they do? Who cares? But you know, our show's about getting rich and getting rich quick, right? So we're not trying to fight the system. We're trying to work with it and make money from it. So, if you can't beat them, join them, right? We want to market a product that all these idiots, will flock to, will spend their money on while we still have money. You know, I'm sure you were happy to see that Cuomo just gave the 3 strikes you're out rule for all the places, and you can't just serve drinks now unless you're also serving food in New York.
Well, that was supposed to be the situation from the jump.
But and the reason being is that when people get a little looped up, they lose the restrictions, you know, they stand too close, they talk too splashy, and they spread it.
How many times have you been in a bar and someone comes up right in your face, drunk off their ass, and starts yammering at you
and just with all you and spit.
Wet words?
Yeah.
Just spitting in your face. Yeah. Invading your, you know, even if they're talking normally, they're so close to you, they're so right in your face and shouting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I also heard that he has gotten rid of the booze to go.
I heard that was still going.
Oh, that's so funny. Deb told me yesterday that he had shut off the booze to go, but maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway, either way, this is what you're going to do, guys. You're going to take advantage of these people. Not take advantage of them. You're going to give them something that they want and need, right? Basically you're going to sell, it's going to be a knockoff, right? We're not going to do a co-marketing thing, but basically you're going to make a, Four Loko like drink. That's going to be super king size. Four Loko, for anyone who doesn't remember, was a caffeinated alcohol that, got taken off the shelves because people are going too crazy with it. So you're going to make something like that. It's going to be in a giant, giant can. These people are going to be getting drunk, and they're going to be talking too close. They're going to be spraying it when they talk, and to help them out even more, and they'll think it's great. They're going to think it's hilarious. You're going to put sneezing powder on the rim of the can, so that they even sneeze on each other. You're going to design it in a biodegradable can, but it's biodegradable in a way that makes it disintegrate into basically, you know, the six-pack rings, but they're going to be made out of aluminum. So they're going to go out there and they're going to be strangling the ducks and the what animals were it that they were really worried about with the six-pack rings?
I think were a big one. Birds.
Yeah.
Happening to a lot. I mean plastics in general, but the six packs ring, my recollection was sea turtles.
Yeah, okay. Sea turtles gonna love these things because they're gonna turn into aluminum six pack rings, basically. A portion of all proceeds are gonna go to demolishing mountains to make giant statues of billionaires in Confederate soldier uniforms. And the reason I'm not specifying the mountain or the Confederate soldiers is because you're just going to keep taking money, getting some proceeds, and you're going to turn every mountain into a different billionaire statue, all with Confederate soldier uniforms. People are going to love it, apparently. You know, all you got to do is pick up a newspaper and see that this is going to be hot cakes to selling.
I think the idea of a billionaire in a Confederate uniform.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have one. Yeah. For, all of them. All of them get one. Bezos gets one. He gets the biggest mountain. I don't know which one. The prettiest mountain that you destroy to turn into a Bezos and a Confederate thing. Anyway, you're going to make a lot of money. The newspaper proves it. And you're just saying, you want a foobar this? Foobar it all the way, right?
Yeah, no, I like it. It's a solid one, Noel. I especially like the idea. I like that we're going to be billionaires soon.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to have Confederate uniforms.
Sure.
I think that's the going to be the best thing. We should probably do the mid stuff now, huh?
Yeah, yeah, we might as well. So you guys, if you're like, I want to give them money, I haven't gotten rich yet, don't worry. We got you covered. You can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, go to the Get Rich Quick with Josh Knowles show page, hit the sponsor button, and pledge an amount. Half that money will go to Josh and I. Half that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. If you are saying, like, no way, I'm not giving them money. Josh only came up with one idea. You can do it in the way that hurts us the most, right? You can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, and from that main page, the front page, the Radio Free Brooklyn page, if you hit sponsor, none of that money goes to us. It all goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. So even though you gave us the big finger, you get to still do some good and help support the arts, help support community radio, help keep the station afloat. If you want to support Radio Free Brooklyn in other ways, you can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the apps, iOS or Android. You can get them and listen to the station live or all the archives of all the shows. If you order anything on Amazon, you can use the smile.amazon.com, and you can put Radio Free Brooklyn in as your charity, and we get a tiny, 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 tiny amount of money from Amazon, not from you. You don't have to spend any money extra. But you put it all together, with enough people doing it, and it adds up and it helps us out. So you guys do that. And as thanks for letting us plug everything in the world, Josh has found another little way for you to get extra rich that has nothing to do with FUBAR, or maybe it does. So, Mr. Josh, please take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
And if you want to hear a literal rags-to-riches story, we have one. In 2017, a man called Lauren Kreitzer sold what he had once thought was a worthless rag for $1.5 million. The man had been surviving on disability checks up until then after losing a leg in a car accident. One day, he was watching the Antiques Roadshow and realized that the dusty blanket he'd never bothered to use in the closet looked like the one on the TV, a Navajo blanket from around the 1800s. He told the press what he thought while watching that show. I paused it, and I went and got the blanket, and I'm sitting there holding it. I'm lining up the lines on the TV with the blanket, seeing if they match. Indeed, they did, and he became a millionaire. So a word to the wise, why not check out what old junk you have stored somewhere in the house? You might just have $1 million lying around. Odds are someone does.
You know, so last week you had, was it the tip or the spend that money that for some unrelated reason to what they were talking about mentioned that the person later in life died of AIDS, right?
What's the tip? It was the same list as this came okay. from. I really like this guy because this is the kind of shit that he does.
Yeah,
because
this one, why do they talk about the fact multiple times that he lost his leg? It had nothing to do with the rest of the story.
It was great. He was missing a fingertip.
Okay.
No, he lost his leg, but I'm just saying, like, there'd be another one. And he had cut his fingertip off with no context whatsoever of why that's important to the story. You know, how he cut his fingertip off, none of it matters.
No.
You just need to know that he lost his leg. You just need to know that the woman got rich, but her son, whose toys she sold, died of AIDS later in life.
Yeah.
No reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. So you should go maybe next, or do you want me to keep going?
I'll go. That's what I figured we'd do, is I'll go next, and then you can go.
Okay. I like it.
So I think it's very clear that there's no doubt that the biggest FUBAR of our lifetime, Noel, of our lifetime. And we've grown. Well, I was born in 69. So there were some FUBARs, you know, there was the Bay of Pigs. There was Watergate. There was, you know, plenty of FUBARs. There was the war in Iraq was a FUBAR, as far as I'm concerned, with the lie about weapons of mass destruction. But I think it's really clear that in our lifetime that there is no bigger and will be no bigger FUBAR than the presidency that we currently live under, starring Donald Trump.
Yes.
He took what was a world leader, a country that was a world leader, pretty goddamn stable in, you know, when you look globally. And he managed to do completely flip it on its axis, throw everyone off balance and into chaos. And, you know, when you think about Trump, what you got to wonder, what I always wonder is, how does this dude profit off of it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's the stuff we've heard about, which, you know, is the, you know, $100,000 here, $1 million here, and that all adds up, don't get me wrong. But I decided to sort of look into, like, where profits are coming Trump's way and how he's, you know, because he looks up to Putin, who has, you know, we've talked about before, has stolen over $50 billion from his country, and it's estimated at $50 billion, and he is without a doubt the richest world leader out there right now, and one of the richest people in the world, certainly in the top five richest people in the world, if that number could be confirmed, right?
Yeah, maybe Trump's going to be the first trillionaire.
Well, he's going for it, and so I looked at a whole bunch of reports on how Trump has profited off of his presidency.
So going back to day one, you may remember this. The Chinese government had granted Donald 39 trademarks, at least 39 trademarks, many of which had been previously rejected prior to his getting into office. Ivanka had gotten at least 7 since she joined the administration.
Mm-hmm.
Another report found that political groups spent more than $1.5 million at Trump properties during his first year in office. Up to that point, going back to 2002, political groups hadn't spent more than $100,000 in any given year. So that's what is that, a 1,000% or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
$34 million in land purchases from the Trump company in 2 years, in a 2 year period of time, all by LLCs, which we'll get back to. But just so you know, LLCs are limited liability companies that are created so you don't have to tell anyone who the people who are behind the corporation are.
That's right.
So it could be basically anyone involved. You have no idea. So this was a big one, though. This was the one that made my eyes open up really wide and was like, damn, this is crazy. So this is going back to 2019, okay? Now, you may know about this because you worked at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for a while, right? Or you worked...
Board of Trade.
Right, okay, Board of Trade. So on Friday, September 13th of 2019... The last 10 minutes of trading, or sorry, 2018, the last 10 minutes of trading at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, someone or some group of people short sold 120,000 S&P E-minis, which is an electronically traded futures contract linked to the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index.
Mm-hmm.
When the index was trading around $3,010, that's when they sold it. They shorted it. And then a few hours later, American drones attacked a large swath of Saudi Arabia's oil infrastructure, choking off production in the country and sending oil prices soaring.
Okay.
By the time the CME next opened for pre-trading, the S&P index had fallen 30 points. And the traders had made $180 million profit in less than 12 hours.
Okay.
3 days earlier, in the last 10 minutes of trading, someone bought 82,000 S&P E-minis when the index was trading at $29.69.
Mm-hmm.
A few hours later, the Chinese government announced that it would lift tariffs on a range of American-made products. It shot up 30 points. And then a couple hours after that, President Donald Trump said he would postpone tariffs on Chinese goods, and the S&P index moved up to $3,016 per, or up 47 points since the person bought the E-minis,
mm-hmm,
just before the market closed the night before. 1 point equaled $50.
Mm-hmm.
So a 47-point movement in 1 day was worth $2,350 per contract, 82,000 E-mini contracts. They made $190 million.
Wow.
Then 1 day in July, in the same situation, in the last 30 minutes of trading on June 28th, someone bought 420,000 September E-minis. That was on June 28th. Late July, Trump came out of his meeting with Xi Jinping and announced that the intermittent trade talks were back on track. The following week was a good one, thanks to the Trump announcement. And on the 27th of July, the index stood
at 3,000 and gained 84 points or $4,200 per e-mini contract. That person had bought 420,000 e-minis and made a profit of nearly $1.8 billion.
Wow.
Okay. This happened on several other occasions for no less than 50 or 60 million each time. And there was one other billion-dollar one.
Mm-hmm.
Every trader on the floor said, once in a while, you look at something like this and you say, wow, that's pretty lucky. When you see it happen as often as this, with the precision and timing of these trades, and the vast amounts of money being made as a result, it really makes you wonder if they're on the level.
Yeah.
You know, do they have some sort of access to information that other people don't have? And it's hard for me not to believe that Trump is involved in this in some way.
Sure.
One of the other trades, I forgot to put it down in my thing, and I realized how pertinent it was. One of the other trades that happened, and they made something like $175 million off of, was when Trump came out and said that he had had, I don't know if you remember this, when Trump came out and said that he had had a great phone call with the Chinese,
mm-hmm.
and things are going really, really well, and stocks shut up. And then several hours later, the Chinese said, we don't know what he's talking about. We didn't have a phone call with him. We had nothing to do with this phone call. I don't know if you remember when that happened. But that was $175 or $165 million that was made just because he came out and said that the phone call went really well.
Yeah.
That didn't actually exist.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money going into someone's pocket. And yeah. My guess, Trump and a bunch of cronies.
Sure.
Right? Well, I was like, how do you access this, dude? How do you make this money? Because we're not talking a million here and there. We're talking hundreds of millions, billions in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about starting. You can start with nothing because all you have to do is short. All you have to do is know when to short the market. And that'll set you up to buy everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when I was looking, and I, like I had said, I had seen that bit about $35 million worth of land purchases had been done, had been purchased from the Trump organization, all under LLCs.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this is what you're going to do. You're going to start an LLC. You're going to get a bunch of money, family, friends. I mean, if you think about it, if you get, you know, a million friends together,
mm-hmm.
and they all give you $10, that's $10 million you have in your LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you can go out and buy $10 million worth of land from the Trumps. No one needs to know who's doing it. No one needs to know who's buying it. You do that a couple of few times. You buy it, you flip it, you make your money back, you buy some more from him, you flip it, you get on his radar. Right. Then you take some of that money and you join Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You go in, you meet him, you say, hey, we've done some deals. I really want to say thank you. You guys have given us great prices, whatever. We've done some deals. You pique his interest. You blow a lot of smoke up his ass. You tell him he's the greatest president in the world. You did these deals just because you wanted to meet such a great man.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest man ever. The greatest man, not only in the history of the presidency, but in the history of the world. He's constantly comparing Lincoln to himself. I say go bigger, go deeper. Compare him to Caesar.
Yeah.
Compare him to God.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go there. Let's compare him to Jesus Christ or the big man upstairs himself. Doesn't matter. You compare him to it. You get in his good graces. You sit down. You have a couple cups of tea with him. You eat a taco bowl with the man. You have a well-done steak with some chocolate cake afterwards and a side of fries. The fries goes with the chocolate cake, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He starts to feel comfortable around you, and he tells you a little tip.
Ooh.
I'm going to, whatever, yeah. I'm going to cut ties with Germany next week, whatever mm-hmm. he tells you. And you are going to go in and you are going to short whatever you need to short. And you are going to be so rich.
30 minutes before the closing of the trading. The other interesting thing, these minis, they trade 23 and a half hours a day.
Okay.
So, you know, you could do that. The fact that they waited till half an hour before closing every single time.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Anyway, and that's how you're going to do it, guys. It all starts with an LLC, getting a million of your friends together, $10 each. You'll pay them all back, I promise. Buy, flip, buy, flip, buy, flip. Mar-a-Lago, best friends with the president. Get in with the cronies, and you are down with the e-mini trading.
Yep.
And there it is.
Yeah, the Foo Bar. It's good. Foo. Ugh. Ugh. I don't know if we come off as angry this show.
Sometimes it's funny. Anytime it comes up with him,
yeah,
we're pretty angry.
If you want to soothe your violent temper, I just sent you more pics of Nigel. So you guys, Foo Bar. How are you going to get rich with it, right? You know, the thing about disasters is they keep getting drastically, dramatically worse, right? If you think things are bad, just wait. Because then things get worse, and you're like, oh, I wish they were only bad, right? And then, boom, they get worse, and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's so much worse than I imagined. And we seem to be going down this road, right? Where,
oh, or are you talking about we as human beings?
We as a country, for sure,
okay.
Where continuously we look back and say, man, I wish things were only as bad as they were a little while ago, right? So I think you can have pretty good confidence we're going to keep going down at least through the end of the year. Hopefully, then there's a bit of a change that happens. It reminded me of a book, right? I should say first, right? So if we're going to assume that we're still going to keep doing this, the way you really want to make it rich, right, is you need to be the first one in on the next level of hell that we're going to get to, right? You got to be set up, ready to open shop when people get to that level of hell. So think about the worst world picture book you can think of, and I'm sure most people will agree with me. It's The Road. Right? By Cormac McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
You ever read it?
I have, yes. Yeah. Saw the movie as well.
Yeah, it's a good book. And you think about that. What were they so scared about in that? What took the book from, yeah, this place sucks to holy crap, this is the worst place in the world? Cannibalism. That's what did it, right?
Yep.
And so if you look at our trajectory, you know it's coming, right? So you want to be the first one in on that level, all set up shop. You're going to become the McDonald's of cannibalism so that when we get there, you're ready. You can't start serving off people now, but, you know, you can get your materials ready, your branding, your systems and procedures, your packaging. Above all, you want to perfect your dipping sauces. And then when we get to that next level of hell, you'll be set up. You'll be ready to start flipping fingers, serving them out, and you'll make huge money because everyone else will be late to the party that you were early for. You were prepared, and you're the one making all the money.
That's great. I like that.
Yeah, it's coming. So.
You know, and it's fitting because it'll fit right into the QAnon conspiracy thing, right?
Sure.
Is the conspiracy part of the conspiracy thing is, you know, obviously the pedophilia rings, mm-hmm. but also cannibalism is part of what they're involved in as well.
Oh, it's fucking idiots. Yeah. You guys, if you want to reach out to Josh and I and say, good job, bad job, here's an idea, just say hello. You can do it. You can get us on Twitter at GRQ Josh Knoll.
You can email us with any ideas that you have for shows at GRQ with Josh and Noel at gmail.com.
You can us at Facebook at Facebook.com/GRQ Josh Noel. You can go on iTunes or anywhere where you get a podcast nowadays. Subscribe, rate, review. Please do. If you only listen to us in podcast form, we implore you, tune into Radio Free Brooklyn Saturday nights, 8 o'clock. Get the schemes 5 days before anyone else. Get there early. Listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around afterwards. Listen to the circuit. You guys, there's a lot of good stuff going on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you're only listening to us in podcast form, you're missing everything. Check it out. You'll like it. You guys, right now, you got a lot of money in your pocket. How are you going to do? What are you going to do with it, right? Josh is going to tell you. Josh, take it away.
This is it. The single most expensive photograph ever sold is Orion 2 by Andrea Skirsky. Andrea Skirsky holds the title of having taken the most expensive photograph ever sold in the form of 1999's Orion 2, a striking landscape image depicting a calm shot of the River Rhine in Europe. The second and largest photograph in a set of six, Gursky admitted to digitally removing unwanted details, including a factory building in the distance, and dog walkers on the path, in order to achieve a more striking, clean end result. Originally required by the gallery Monika Spruth in Cologne, Germany, the print was put up for sale at Christie's New York in November 2001 with an estimated value of $2.5 to $3.5 million. However, by the time the hammer went down, the photograph commanded a record-breaking $4.33 million. In an attempt to avoid unwanted attention, the lucky buyer of the print has never been revealed.
There you go.
For a Photoshop picture.
For a Photoshop photograph, yeah.
Wow, crazy. You guys, our ideas are so great that we know that they're guaranteed to make you crazy rich. How do you know that they're worth putting out a second, third, fourth, fifth mortgage on your home, racking up your credit cards, spending all your kids' college funds? It's because Josh scours the internet for rules of getting rich quick, to which we judge our schemes by. Josh, where do rules come from this week?
Today's rules come from 10 rules to get rich and grow wealth from the rich clock.
Okay.
Rule number one, Noel.
Yeah.
You have to earn it.
You have to earn it, right? If you really want to go full FUBAR, you got to have that Super King size 4 Loco with the bottom specially designed to be able to crush oxys. Biodegrades into six-pack rings. Portion of the funds go to make statues of billionaires. That's what you got to do.
That's right. Number two, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
Surround yourself with people better than you.
Yeah, exactly. So you go make some money enough to get your foot into Mar-a-Lago, and you know the rest is history.
And finally, Noel.
Yeah.
You need to marry smart.
You need to marry smart, right? You don't want to just go buffalo. You want to have buffalo dipping sauce and a ranch dipping sauce, because when cannibalism goes, people want both.
Yeah, you should also marry tasty.
Yeah.
Based on that. Marry a big girl who's soft, like all that soft, supple. You know, it's like Wagyu beef is so much better
because
it's marbled with all that fat.
Yeah.
Anyway, Noel, we're 3 for 3. So it looks like we're getting rich. So once again, for Josh
and Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Around, baby, and everything will be okay.